It's Friday. Karen Feely from Calcoast News, Jim B. from the Palm Theater, and Bill Benica coming out of your dental speaker.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
I'm in here. I'm stuck. I'm in your earbud. Hey, you know what? The Olympics and Team America today.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
Give them a holler. They'll straighten you out there, help you out, do all kinds of good things for you. Don't forget also, if you want to order a computer, custom-made computer, your very own custom-made, by-hand-built computer for whatever it is you like to compute or do or download, upload, play games, whatever it is, you can go to Coastal Computers and say, I want to have a very special computer made for me, and they'll do it. And it won't cost you, like, you know, fortunes. It'll be fine. Normal. Okay. All right. Let's do our highlight in history and our flashbacks and whatever not on and birthdays and what's up, and according to the Tribune. Our highlight in history on July 27, 1942, Benny Goodman and his orchestra and vocalist Peggy Lee recorded Why Don't You Do Right in New York for Columbia Records. In 1981, 6-year-old Adam Walsh was abducted from a department store in Hollywood, Florida, and was later murdered. His father, John Walsh, became a well-known crime victims advocate. 1996, terror struck the Atlantic Olympics as a pipe bomb exploded at Centennial Park, directly killing one person, injuring 111. Our birthdays today, Olympic gold medal figure skater Peggy Fleming is 64, and Major League Baseball player Alex Rodriguez, who has a bum hand, is 37. Let's say happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Most smokehouse barbecues been knocking them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad, six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Thank you. Not a problem. I'll take care of it. Not a problem. I'll take care of it. Karen hasn't showed up yet. She probably still will, but like last week, you know what happened? One of her grandkids went on the lam there. It was hiding, and then they had to find it. So, yeah, you never know when you have grandmas and stuff like that and kids. So, hey, oh, here she is now. Wait, here's some more. Wait, she sits down. Wait. All right, so Karen Vealey has arrived on the scene right here, and actually just she squeaked into the time frame that we have for that particular piece of music, and so there you are. Hi, Karen, good to
Howdy.
See you. Yeah, I know you're a busy lady, and this is a a rough time for a lot of people because it's noontime and things are going on. It's like but anyway, thank you for being.
I know, and I will stop being. I'm probably the tardiest person in town.
Well,
I try to get my last records request in the morning too.
That's all. knowing that, that's why I have that big long buffer music there. That's why I'm prepared. All right, let's dive into our week in review on California news.com, CalQuestNews.com, and talk about some of the things that have been going on and are going on right now. One of the most amazing stories that has come out of Sacramento. It's not really amazing, when you look at Sacramento and the way Sacramento runs. It's really not that amazing, but it's disturbing that they found $2.3 billion. This is after they found the state parks money, hidden away. And then they was at $54 million, something like that. So now you have the they've gone now over all the different departments and done an audit and say, you know how much money we have socked away? $2.3 billion.
Well, this isn't the full audit yet. They're thinking it's going to be quite a bit more.
Really?
This is just an audit done by the Mercury News on some of these agencies. The Mercury News found $2.3 million, and the state auditor, state finance department, says they expect it to be a lot more by the time they actually go through all the 500 departments and find out how much money they didn't actually tell the finance department they had.
What is it that has it come out yet? What is it they were doing with this squirreled away money? What they were thinking they were going to do with this money?
Well, see, a lot of it's earmarked for certain things. For example, the off-road vehicle fund. The off-road vehicle fund was earmarked to be only used for buying more land for them to do off-road vehicles.
Which we're
well,
not doing.
We're not going to do, so they should be looking at this money. At the same time, we're cutting health care for the mentally ill. We're no mentally health services, college tuition's going up, less money for schools, less days for our young children to go to schools. Numerous things are being cut, and at the same time, we're letting tens and tens of millions sit in accounts for things that don't need to happen.
Wow. Yeah, it was another one I was trying to remember that I heard. But it was something. It was one of these obscure things again. That it was like, well, why would you have this money sit in that account when we're not even actively engaged in that anymore in California anyway? But it's really kind of strange.
And even if you look locally, it's the same thing is happening in the city of San Luis Obispo. They push Measure Y. We're having a budget crisis. We're in trouble. Things are not going well. But then if you look at, they have $63 million in that one account. I think they have close to $80 million in different accounts around the city. And in addition, they appear to have about $300 million in property. And in some of the property, yes, is government buildings. Some of the property is parking garages. A lot of it's open space. And there are people that say, oh, the open space is important. And then a lot of it is properties donated or that the city has gotten over decades. Now, the issue with this, though, and there's actually about 280. The list shows about 200, the APN list that I have received. But if you look at this, some of them say no APN because it's multiple parcels. So it's actually about 280. And then I think there's about another 15 small, like little pieces here and there throughout the city. But these houses, for example, they are letting them deteriorate, many of them, till they're no longer fixable. So the value of the property is just plummeting. The city has to keep extra employees on to take care of these properties that they're not doing anything with. Then, in addition, the city doesn't get taxed the taxes for this property because it's government property, and they have to pay the insurance. Now, they hold on to a piece of property like this for 30 years and let it just go into the gutter. What is the cost of that, and would it be better to instead of saying, oh, we need to increase taxes to cover some of these things, to not only look at spending, but also look at assets that are just sitting.
Who would actually be directly responsible for that? For those assets? Who's directly responsible for properties sitting around in the city of San Luis Obispo?
I am not sure. I know.
I don't think the city's sure. I think that's why we have the problem.
Well, the city council, I don't think they even knew they existed, because I had written the story. Steve Barish had gone in front of the council last Tuesday and said, hey, wait a minute. I have a list of properties now, and I would like to know where these properties, I shared the list with Steve Barish. She said, I'd like to know where, you know, what is going on with all these properties. Well, suddenly he's getting emails from council people saying, would you mind sharing your list with me?
Because we don't know.
And then the city provided them a list that doesn't match the list that I've got, so with some of the things a little different. And I know that my list came from the city.
Now, here's the thing. I wouldn't expect the city council people to say, okay, I know how many properties we have sitting around the city. It just wouldn't be information unless somebody brings it to their attention that they would know. I understand that. But now the cat's out of the bag, so to speak, and it would seem to be fiscally responsible now to direct attention at this and say, okay, what are we going to do about this situation? And, you know, what's it going to take to do something about this situation? Because you have kind of a two-edged sword here. If you have a piece of property that's just, you know, sitting there, that's junk, you know, you can say, okay, we can sell this as literally abandoned property and sell it as a lot, obviously, as opposed to the building that's on it. Or you can do something. I don't know. They need a big realtor involved in this.
Some of these are historical, but the problem is, like, the adobe out near the French Hospital, it's destroyed. I don't think it can even be fixed. They've let it go so bad. It was in good shape and it was donated to the city, but you can't just let an adobe sit without any upkeep for years and years and years. I think it's past the point of return. Some of the other historical buildings, you could sell them to somebody that had to keep it up as a historical building. Private people own historical buildings all the time and are responsible. I can't imagine they do a worse job than the city. I'm going to tell you, I went by four properties in a row, okay? The first one's right across from the Children's Museum. The whole side wall's crumbling, and the front window's broken, and that belongs to the city.
But obviously the city, either somebody, people don't, are not aware, somebody's supposed to be responsible for this, somebody has to know about this, but it doesn't seem like anybody does. And yet, so the question I have for you is it possible, and it's possible, I think, in just the bureaucracy of our lives, you know, and the bureaucratic process, is it possible that nobody is really responsible for this?
Well, no, I think it's more possible because the city knows they own these properties. Katie Lichtig knows the properties are there. They know the city. City staff has stopped taking care of these. They stopped for decades and decades and decades. The city staff, the waterways, we have a lot of ditches and different water systems here in the city.
Right.
They no longer, the flood systems are no longer, for 10 years now, they decided they weren't going to spend the money and clean them out anymore. For 10 years now, the waterways have been left alone. Now, the city, after decades, is responsible for those. There's paperwork going back 80 years that says, yes, we've got this easement, this water easement, we're going to be taking care of it. Well, 10 years ago, let's just save the money, let's don't do it anymore. So suddenly, at some point, there could be legal action against them. And if you look at places like Fresno, one of the reasons Fresno is going bankrupt is millions and millions and millions they had to pay to homeless. They were sued for unconstitutional treatment of their homeless, and it's trashed the city. The other one, it was lawsuits, the one up in the Sierras. So you have a number of cities that have the way that they're running the city is actually related to the bankruptcy. But if you look at another issue here is streets. If you look at streets here, by law, if you have, and this it's actually a misdemeanor not to do this, if you have a big project that costs more than a certain amount to fix, you're supposed to fix it. But instead of paying an outside source to come in and do a street, for example, Prado Road, they did small little patches one at a time by city workers and then had to make the patch next to the next patch to get the whole road done. And the amount of time and man hours, it's probably almost 10 times what it would cost somewhere else, or a very large amount. But sitting there, keeping city staff high to do these things, which then costs the taxpayer a whole lot more. They have to rent equipment. They have to the patching to make things patch. It's just what I'm saying is there seems to be it's the way the city is being run doesn't seem to be fiscal in some regards. Another regard is if you got to look at some of the departments here, the legal department in SLO. You have a attorney, you have an assistant, they're hiring another assistant, they have assistants to the assistants. You've got this huge legal department, and they just approved, I think, another $100,000 to pay to the attorney out of area to fight the homeless issue. So a lot of cities have one attorney from out of area, you know, that they pay, or if they have one city attorney, but for a city this size to have this much in the legal department is very unheard of. So I think there's a lot of issues.
Apparently so. Not just dilapidated houses. Now, here's a weird thing, though, but I don't know if it was through donation or the city did it itself or whatever. I think it's called the Rodriguez Adobe that's over by Islay Hill. It's by the railroad tracks.
Okay.
It's like a little park. Well, here's what I don't understand. I've been by it, and I've looked in the windows of it, et cetera. They took a historic adobe, and they made it into a clapboard building that has no historic relevance whatsoever that I can see. It's all been completely redone, and I looked all around and I can't find like any little adobe showing or something, you know, to say this was an adobe. There's a sign that says it was an adobe, but I don't know what they anticipate using that building for. Can people call the city and say I want to rent it? I have no idea. But I've never seen anybody there. I see people in that park every now and then.
Most of the houses I saw the city own are vacant. Now I have seen several that they are renting out. For example, there's another one over there on Monterey that's got a little bit of furniture on the front porch and a fallen down fence, and it is rented to somebody. But again, it's the city has these rules about their new good neighbor program. But that one's on the corner of Napomo and Monterey, and if you take a look at it, there's actually furniture in the front yard.
That's fun. Amazing stuff as we go along. All right. So but here's what we're saying is, you know, we're saying is have somehow our money has been mismanaged, but it's like, well, I'm just saying that it just seems odd that we're not conducting an auditing correctly. That's what I'm going to say, that we're not doing something correctly to find out. Look at the state to find out that we have these problems. If the city has money mistakes, that's a mistake because we didn't audit correctly, and we have an auditor controller, do we not? And isn't that person's job?
And look at the amount of cities in California in financial trouble right now. Look at the, I mean, there are a number of issues going on, even in our county.
Well, you mentioned the waterways, and you know, if you go through the neighborhoods, if you haven't ever paid attention to San Luis Obispo, go for a walk or a bike ride or something, and you'll see, I mean, there's just dozens upon dozens of these little canals and creeks and cement jobberdos, and they get clogged with junk. The last big project I remember the city doing was the main water line where the San Luis Obispo Creek goes underneath the city. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that was, what, 5-6 years ago, would you say?
The standard flood control of the creeks, and I think there's 1,200 waterways that the city used to maintain, they haven't maintained those in 10 years.
Well, here's the thing. The Coast Guard's also responsible for our waterways, so I don't see why we don't get Uncle Sam to get the Coast Guard up here to fix them. That's my opinion there.
All through the country?
No, right through. That's true. Inland waterways are under the auspices of the Coast Guard. So when they had a little kind of a, it was one of these fuel spills or something. I think a car went into the creek up by where Motel 6 is.
Yeah.
Not Motel 6, a Motel Inn. Remember this a long time ago? And the Coast Guard had to be present to observe whatever. They were partly responsible for the cleanup of that. So my idea is that we got to get the city to figure out how to get the Coast Guard responsible for the whole thing. Why not? All right, other things going on. We have other things happening this week, and they're pretty amazing things going on. We've had two people. We had a financial. Tell me the name, and I'm forgetting.
Okay,
we've had two.
Linda
two.
Kennedy. Now here's the interesting thing about Linda Kennedy. There were four financial firms. And hard money lenders out of the Paso Robles area, and they all did the same thing. They all did the hard money Ponzi scheme. They kind of all knew each other, and they were all battling for the same clients. And they and some were more corrupt than others. They've looked at Kelly Gearhart. He's facing 300 years. They've all now been arrested. Now, the interesting thing about Linda Kennedy is she fled to Costa Rica. I think it was about 08 or 09. And then she was doing business out of Costa Rica. She would go over. I had a couple forms that I saw that she would get the consulate in, I can't remember what city she was doing it out of, and she would go over there and send stuff, and she was still trying to get property sold and take care of business from Costa Rica while she was hiding from the law. Then she came back here, dyed her hair, ran around Paso for a few months, and then she again left and fled to Tennessee. Now, the DA, after a four-year investigation, and on this one, I can see these things being very difficult to follow. It's financial fraud. It's harder to do, and it takes time for agencies to do it. After a four-year investigation, they had her arrested in Tennessee, jailed in Tennessee, and then they extradited her to San Luis Obispo. One of the interesting things is, and I don't know why this happens, I had heard she was arrested. I checked the sheriff's website. You couldn't find her in there. They had her under a phony name at the jail.
Why?
I have no idea. This isn't the first time that it's someone in white-collar crime. I mean, if you go out and you rob a liquor store, you're going to have your name in on the jail. You can go to the jail website. For some reason, if you're someone else, it doesn't show when you plug it in. And even when I called the jail and I said, is this person there? And he finally said, oh, yeah, we have someone with that last name, but they're calling her Ramona something. And that wasn't her name. He goes, oh, I just verified that is her. Why put white-collar criminals in under false names so that the public can't know about it? I just don't understand. And this isn't the first one. You can't say it's a mistake. Only happens once. This is not the first person I've had trouble finding.
I could ask Tony Coppola because as far as I know, they'll talk to me.
They'll
but
talk
I'm not sure.
to you.
I'm not sure if they will. I think they will, though. I think they will. All right, so maybe we can find out. There must be a reason. And so it would be interesting to know what the reason is. You know? We don't know the answer to that, so it would be good to have an answer. All right, we'll look into that. The other thing was, what was the guy here? I don't want to get the name wrong because I'm wrong. I'm in trouble. Moriarty Enterprises, was that the one that just had some financial problems?
Yeah.
But his they weren't accusing him of fraud. They were basically saying, well, he didn't live up to what he said he was going to do. And he said, there was no way I could live up to what I said I was going to do.
And that's happened to a whole bunch of business people in the
right,
area.
Right,
and
right.
I don't know. We didn't cover that.
Well, there,
kind
I'm just
of,
saying,
you know, we cover yeah, more.
I was going to say, there's a difference between fraud and what's happened in the recession.
Half the big businessmen in this area have gotten in a little, you know, not fraud and not cheating people, but have had a little bit of trouble getting caught up on paying things.
Right.
I don't know if that isn't the same thing as taking people's money, telling them you're putting it in a project and doing something else with it.
That's all different. I think you're right. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Karen Vealey and CalcoastNews.com for the week.
Hi, I'm Michael, manager of the Natural Foods Co-op in San Luis Obispo. We are a non-corporate, community-owned grocery store that offers a healthy, alternative place to shop. At the Natural Foods Co-op, you'll find local organic produce and local pasture-raised meats, as well as organic grocery and bulk items. We have a large supplement section, as well as a bulk herb department with over 250 items. In the 37 years we've been in business, our goal has been to provide high quality, healthy foods and supplements at the lowest prices possible. We have a friendly, knowledgeable staff that can help you with all your questions. Co-op members enjoy a discount at the register and better prices on special orders. However, we are open to the public and a membership is not required to shop. Come by and check us out at 745 Francis Avenue, right off Broad Street in San Luis Obispo, or give us a call at 544-7928. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 7, closed on Sundays. Mention this ad and we'll give you a free t-shirt with your groceries. Natural Foods Co-op of San Luis Obispo. Everyone can shop, anyone can join.
Hey, Jer, do you buy American?
Of course. It's my patriotic duty.
Well, now you could win American, too.
Win American?
Yeah. During the All-American Corvette giveaways at Shumash Casino Resort.
Ooh, they're giving away free Corvettes?
Yep. Five of them. One every Sunday in July.
Cool.
I'll say the Chevy Corvette is the All-American sports car with a powerful V8 engine, classic styling, and precision handling.
Love it.
And Shumash Casino's giving five of them away free.
Oh, my Uncle Sam will be so happy.
You mean the good old U.S. of A.?
No, my Uncle Sam in Buellton. He always wanted a Corvette.
Come in for our five Chevy Corvette giveaways in July. There's a new Corvette given away every Sunday at 10 p.m., plus free play drawings from 7 to 10 p.m. To qualify, simply play with your Club Shumash card.
Win American
during the All-American Corvette giveaways.
Only at Shumash Casino Resort.
Ooh, can I say hi to my uncle?
Nope, out of time.
Hey, Uncle Sam, it's me.
CalcoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Bill Benica and Karen Vealy. CalcoastNews.com. We can review. Right now it's currently 12:36. And in the 70s here in San Luis Obispo, it's going to be kind of the same all week. It's supposed to be a nice week. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk about some other things that are going on with Cal Coast News and people that are in there. The California State Bar ruled a Paso Robles attorney improperly collected a fee from a client in 2008 and has threatened to suspend the attorney's license for the second time in recent years. What else can you tell me about this guy? Fairbairn, is it?
I don't have you on.
Go ahead.
He is the same guy that went around, that pulled the gun on the people trying to repo his car or truck in 2006. He actually didn't just pull a gun, he shot at two people. And he did lose his license then for about 9 months. He's under investigation again by the state bar, and at a hearing they recommended that he can lose his license this time for 2 years. And in this case, there was a one lady that had another person that she had been the executor of an account, and the money was supposed to go to two children, to the children of her aunt that she was executor for. Well, she wanted part of some mineral rights and some other things, and in the end, the attorney said, "You need to pay us both $10,000 for our work, or we're just going to take the mineral rights." And they took the mineral rights on one, and one paid $10,000. The mineral rights went back when he got in legal trouble, but then they looked at it. You can't legally do that.
Well, why? Well, not only can you not legally, it's absurd sounding to begin with. I mean, you know, if somebody said, "Well, I'm going to just take your mineral rights, you know, in lieu of payment," I mean, that's, I've never heard anything like that in my whole life. You know, that's absurd.
And it appears that he's had a number of issues that have not worked out well for him.
Apparently.
So this is obviously not the very first thing that's happened to this man.
All right, let me see his name correctly, too, because I got it wrong. It's Adam Fairbairn. Is that how you say it? Barron?
I'm not sure.
F-A-R-B-A-I-R-N, so just so you know how it's spelled. All right. So another one of the wacky things that's going on in the world.
Another thing here is we've got a number of people. We had Carter drop out of the race.
Yeah.
Andrew Carter dropped out of the race. And now we have five in the race. I think another one went in yesterday. We have Steve Barish.
Mm-hmm.
We have Kevin Rice just joined the race.
Okay.
We also have Don Hendrick. And what is the third gentleman's name? He is, now he's kind of, I think he's in his 20s and he just moved here from Tennessee.
Orrin Levy.
Orrin Levy. Don Hendrick is a gentleman that's run for the last 3 years. Kind of an outspoken gentleman, kind of a character in town. He's a gentleman with a big cardboard hat with it looks like a big bite out of the top of it. It's at a lot of the council meetings. Steve Barish is a local architect and has been very critical of the city, is at a lot of meetings. Kevin Rice is basically an activist. He's very prominent in the Dunes fight, and he is... also at a lot of council meetings and very critical of the council. So we have these are the people that are in now. So it's looking to be an
brouhaha.
Interesting.
We have a brouhaha boiling here.
It looks to be a very interesting race, especially in light of all the issues the city's having currently.
And I encourage all the candidates to advertise with me. sorry. That didn't sound right, did it? I don't care. That's it right there. All right. And you get lowest unit price and everything. You get all the things that the FCC guarantees you, I honors, just so you know. All right, other people that are in the news that we've had this week. There's been a lot of crazy stuff going on. But we've had, you know, this has been a very, very eventful week since last Friday and last Thursday night.
And let's talk about the homeless thing.
Tell us what's going on with that.
It was very interesting. They had a hearing, and I know that I think the other media really reported on the fact that they were going to have another negotiation. They're having another mediation. The last negotiation they had went nowhere. And basically, what I found most interesting at this hearing for those that don't know, there's been a homeless parking issue where Capslow put together five spaces, and as part of Capslow's plan to make sure that homeless park in their spaces, which requires them to hand over 70% of their income to be managed by Capslow, they wanted the city of Slow to increase ticketing of homeless that don't park in their spaces only. Slow passed this ruling that, you know, they wouldn't be ticketed over there, and they started massively aggressively going after homeless that parked in their cars by nightly raids of beating on their cars. a judge, Saro Rizzo and Sue Jenkins, said it was unconstitutional and that the ordinance was not being followed correctly. A judge ruled that that ordinance did not pertain to city streets. And then the city overruled them, and they actually, in the ordinance, say we're overruling the judge.
This was Judge Charles Crandall.
Judge Charles Crandall. And so they're back in court, and they have a new ordinance. And Sorrow looks over, and Sorrow says, I'd like you to look at my motion for a new ordinance. The judge looks down, and he looks over at Christine Dietrich, and he goes, where am I supposed to sign? And they go over where he's supposed to sign, but he didn't do it. He said, you know, this isn't, the, you know, they're not doing it yet. This isn't, they're not going to start ticketing on the new ordinance till the 9th. And then there was some talk, well, why don't you just wait till after mediation? And Christine Dietrich said, you know, no, we're not going to wait. We may want to use this. We will not wait till after mediation is over. Because even though mediation starts, I think, on the 13th, it could last, you know, weeks.
What is this? Well, you have a date up here, August 2nd. What is that? It says a mediation is scheduled for August 2nd.
Okay, that's the day of the mediation. Okay. August 2nd is the mediation, and then they're having another hearing on August 13th. I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Okay, I got you.
And where they could ask for that. But if they start ticketing on the 9th, when they're allowed to, if that does occur, both Saro and Stu Jenkins said they are going to go back in front of the judge and ask them, you know, we need something to happen. And the judge said, I don't like temporary restraining orders, which that would be a restraining order against the police ticketing these people. And he might have made it quite clear to both. Christine Dietrich said, you need to look at what the council, you need to consider what the council's latest action was of overruling you, which is, it's kind of, I think, a very interesting, a very interesting thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I cannot imagine that
kind of the executive versus the judicial. You know, which is really what it is, and it is fascinating.
It is. I find it very interesting, and I'm very curious to see if they do start aggressive ticketing on the 9th again, and then what will happen, and if they don't come to an agreement. And I think this is going to be pretty hard for them to come to agreement. They can't talk about mediation. The judge said you're absolutely not allowed to talk about the mediation process. But I asked Christine Dietrich three or four questions that are things that the attorneys think are mistreatment and unconstitutional treatment of the homeless. And she said, oh, we're not dealing with that part. I'm not talking about that. We're only going here. We're not going to discuss that. I asked her about the 70%. She said, well, I don't know about that. And I said, well, the city approved it. When they approved this parking plan, they approved the 70%. Oh, I didn't know anything about what they've approved, and that's not part of what I care about. I care about this, and this,
right.
And I'm not going there. So if this is something important to them, and she's not even going to consider unconstitutional treatment,
well,
of the homeless,
but she, I can see where she could sidestep that. I you know, just in her capacity, she could. I can see where she can say to you, "That's not my concern," because basically that has to do with CAPSLO and the shelter. I mean, that's their requirement. That doesn't mean that, you know. Here's the weird part about it. There's stuff in here that certainly seems very unconstitutional. The stuff that's here that just seems wrong, morally wrong. There's this whole mixture of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So the 70% thing is probably not illegal. I'm going to guess it's not illegal off the top.
No, it's not illegal. But here is the problem. Well, there may be some illegalities in it, and here's why. People on disability, that disability is supposed to be keeping them going. So these people don't have enough money. They get reassimilated back into society, especially if you're on some type of assistance trying to get a job. You don't have money for clothes, medicine, food. You don't have enough money to take care of yourself because you're subsiding on so little because they're keeping it for housing. Now, the point of the matter is, she said it can take a year and a half to 2 years to get you into housing. In a year and a half to 2 years, they have $10,000 in an account. It doesn't cost $10,000 to get into somebody into low-cost housing. And if you look at their website, I think it notices one person getting into housing in 2010. So you have in everyone, that they have 50 beds at Maxine Lewis. If you're there for any extended period of time, you're required to give them your income. So you have where all this money is going into these accounts. CAPSLO is supposed to be a nonprofit helping the homeless. They have over a $50 million budget and other charities. They have over a $50 million budget. The money's going into the attorneys are concerned with that money. That's something they're going to want to talk about. If the attorney and the city had to approve their agreements. Okay. This went through City Public Works, because a lot of the things with Capsule are publicly funded. They get, for example, the parking plan, DeTours had said that it was funded by the county and the city. So these are taxpayer funds. So they do have a right to say, we're not going to fund this program if you're doing this type of treatment, even though it is a nonprofit. Now, I asked several of the council people about this, and they said, well, we don't think anybody else wants to help the homeless except for CAPSO. Well, that's not actually true, because a lot of other agencies have tried to come in, and DeTours and Adam Hill and several others have been very aggressive about saying, hey, let's keep it all under one umbrella. We don't want any other agencies helping the homeless. Let's just have one group that helps the homeless.
Now, have you had a chance to have interviewed people from CAPSLO about this to say, you know, to tell us what's going on?
They, at this point, have not returned calls and have been very untransparent. I did talk to another group that said they tried to get some financial documents from them and were having trouble getting them. I know that their records are available through GuideStar, and we are doing some looking, and I have some other funding sources that I'm looking at.
Question. When a cop gives you a ticket for sleeping in your car overnight, okay,
yeah.
How long is that ticket good for, so to speak? Meaning, can I get a ticket every hour? Can I get a ticket once in 24 hours? Can I get a ticket once in 72 hours? How often can I get a ticket?
I have no idea, but I know some that said they had tickets on multiple days. And the tickets go to up to $500, so many of these people end up either losing
their
cars.
Well, here's what I'm going to say, yeah. If Judge Crandall says, I don't like temporary and restraining orders, and so we're going to hope that this, negotiation comes through, mediation comes through, my concern is, could the police give these people enough tickets in that period of time to just have them totally be busted?
Well, yes, they could. But here's the point. There's lawsuits out there. And that's what I was saying about Fresno. Fresno lost millions in lawsuits against the homeless filed lawsuits against the city of Fresno. It lost very badly for having unconstitutional treatment of the homeless. And the city is now facing bankruptcy. So, yes, they could keep doing it. But there's already a lawsuit out there that says that if they're, you know, these people then could sue for damages if it's found that this was not legal treatment of the homeless. And a judge has already given basically a tentative agreement that it wasn't.
Boy, it just seems to me the city's walking a pretty pretty shaky line on this, and it doesn't. And you know what? I guess really what I think a lot of people find surprising. You know, you're the one that does the investigative reporting. I just react to it. You know, and so I think what a lot of people would find surprising is the fact that there's this sort of, and I'll say it this way, sort of, it's kind of like the prayers at the Pismo Beach City Council meeting and them responding the way they did. It's kind of like an in-your-face thing. You know, their response back seems to be that. It seems almost hostile. They seem to be hostile towards the homeless. And then when you talk about the homeless, it seems like it's a hostile reaction back. And it, which to me is always kind of, that accomplishes very little, you know, as far as anybody getting anywhere. In my opinion. So now you have this mediation, but if you have mediation, you have people that are, you know, I'm not really here to mediate. I'm really here to screw this, you know, say this is our side of this and we don't give a damn that we're not going to capitulate to you one iota. Well, then that's not mediation. That's war.
And I don't, again, the mediation process is going to be completely private, but even at the end, if it works, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That was what the judge said. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Well, so then what happens? So if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Then what does Judge Crandall do?
There's two different cases. There's a criminal and a civil.
Okay.
And then Judge Crandall will have to rule on the civil case, which is the homeless suing the city of SLO for financial damages. So the city of SLO, if they lose, will have to financial. They'll not only have the cost of this case and the cost of the attorneys. And the I can only imagine what the financial costs are going to be in attorney fees for the city if they lose. There's going to be quite a bit of cost to the city. And then you have the criminal cases, and that's not going to cost the city, but they're all, you know, there's also the criminal cases with this.
It's amazing. It's an amazing situation. So it remains amazing. There may all the players involved in this thing and all the decisions being made. I mean, it's, you know, this is like a game of chess almost.
And we've had some strange issues here. We had an ordinance, the county. I was at the County Board of Supervisors, and you've probably already talked about this week on Tuesday, and they were discussing putting in an ordinance that would limit to have free speech and right of assembly. You would have to petition, right, and then get approval, and then pay a fee. And Judge Doug Hilton was there, and I was talking to him outside, and he said, you know, you can say we don't want camping on the courthouse steps. You have an absolute right to say that.
Right.
And he said they can put an ordinance down, and an ordinance for that might be good, but they cannot say in order to have freedom of speech or
you
right of assembly, you have to get a permit and pay a fee and get permission.
You have to have a permit if you want to have a parade. Okay, so I know that. You have to have a parade permit if you want to walk around downtown and protest like that. But for peaceful assembly, I don't remember anything in the Constitution about a permit. I don't know constitutional law totally, but I don't remember anything about a permit. And this is, again, one of these things that I'm finding really kind of disturbing about how our government is dealing with things. That's another one of those in-your-face kind of things. You know what? You think you can get together? Well, we'll show you. Well, no, that's not how this country works. This country works, you can get together.
You know, the most interesting thing about this at the courthouse, you had people on both sides, and I mean far on both sides. You had some of the most liberal people in our community and some of the most conservative people in our community, and they're patting each other on the back and mingling and said, good job. You had people going over and, squatting down in the back of the room going, wow, they just loved what you said. And these people are almost always on the opposite side of the fence. Andrea Seastrand was there. You had public officials sitting out there. It was just, Hilton, you had a number of people that were just passionate about our community. And they all came together. And I've never seen that before where both sides were just so appalled at the writing of this ordinance. It was nice to see, and it was very heartwarming.
Well, and I have to tell you, and I said this on the air, and I really mean this, the person who proposed this is somebody who I've always had a lot of respect for, and where he pulled this one out of his ear, I don't know, and that's Jim Grant. And, you know, Jim's going to retire anyway and as city administrator, and when you've dealt with people before, if you observe what they've done, when you've admired what they've done, all that, when all of a sudden one of these comes out, it's kind of like what's happened to Mitt Romney over in England, quite
yeah.
frankly. You know, if you make a small mistake in what you say in front of a small group of people, it's not really a big deal. If you make a small mistake in front of the whole world, guess what? It's no longer a small mistake.
And, you know, I don't put this all on Jim Grant. I've had several people that I've had a retired mayor and several other people that have been in government that said, wait a minute, you can't put that all on Jim Grant. Other people saw that. The board, everyone on that supervisor board saw that. That's their job. They're paid to know what's going on.
Right.
If they, you know, and then to say, oh, we couldn't say anything till now. Yes, you could have. They all could have called Jim Grant and said, wait a minute. Let's don't put this on the consent. Let's send this back. You know, they're not coming to an agreement. Jim Grant does. There are other people that saw this. There was Hilton from, I think it was Robert Hilton. Is that his name from Parks and Rec? He got up and actually said, you know, I saw this twice and I thought you guys weren't going to do it. I sent it back and said it wasn't okay. So there was interior dialogue that there's something wrong. I don't know if just Grant was pushing this all by himself.
No, I don't think so either. What I'm saying is to originate an idea that is so far afield like this, it's just kind of weird. That's all I'm saying. It's, you know, to say I have an idea, you know, and then, but you're right, then to have other people that are responsible for, you know, saying, okay, this is what you're proposing, and they go, well, let's give that a run by.
And the county council said, well, we determined it was constitutional, which just kind of stunned me. You know, some of the things going on with county council right now, you can't email requests. They're, as long as someone hides behind their – so you can use your government equipment, which is and your government IP address, and you can shoot out political advertising for your campaign as long as you hide behind using your personal email, because they can set that personal use. And even though government code says you can't, government code says you cannot use government equipment to to try to win a campaign. And when you ask for these things, you ask for copies, and I have a ton of the emails already, knowing that they came from Adam Hill's personal account using his government computer and his government IP address. But it's okay because we're not going to disclose that. And in other ones, they won't disclose also even things that he's used his regular email account. There's just really some strange things going on with what Cal County Council is looking at some of this. And the reason I said that was strange, the city of Auburn tried it. The city of Auburn, there were some newspapers that asked for some records, and they wrote back to the newspaper, no, he sent it in his private account, you can't have it. So Peter Scheer of the First Amendment Coalition filed a suit, I think on the 8th of July, against the city of Auburn. It took them till 2 days ago, and they said, we'll settle. We'll settle. Just let the, they didn't even get to court. And they said, we won't do that again. We'll start keeping all records, whether it goes on this or that, for 2 years, and we'll make them transparent and make them public. And I think if you have transparency, you have better government.
Karen Vealy, CalCoastNews.com, 24/7. And we will meet again next Friday.
I'll see you on Friday.
Thank you, madam.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Hey, kids, remember lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute fun.
Da-da-da-da, on the phone, Jim D. from the Palm Theater. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Bill.
How are you, man? Jim's got a little bit of
a little under the weather.
Yeah,
I wish I could be there, but I don't want to give you this little head cold that I have.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Because, matter of fact, we have somebody in the station right now that's had some real bad sinus things going on, infections and terrible things.
I think it's from the plane ride. I was back east, and that was on Sunday, a little time to incubate, and I just didn't want to infect you.
Yes, they circulate that wonderful air there. By the way, Jim D., I saw you on the blood drive thing, on the commercial.
Oh, yeah, that was quite a while ago. But, yeah, I've donated blood a lot of times.
Good.
It's I have this special blood that's good for babies, so I don't know why that is, but they really like me.
Really?
Yep.
How interesting. Yep. I just have regular standard blood, which I think they can replace with a moose or a cow or anything.
I'm O negative, but for some reason I lack some sort of virus or something, and so they can give my blood to, like, prenatal babies. And I, don't ask me why or how, but they like me.
Well, no, yeah, that's you're one of those way out there categories. All right, let's talk about what else is going on at the movies now. You know, since we've talked, of course, and you've been on vacation. You know, we had this terrible tragedy last Thursday night in Aurora. People are going to be talking about it for a lot longer yet. I hopefully not to milk it for all it's worth, but, you know, to try to. I think everybody's still trying to come to grips with the idea of why, and we don't know why. So we just, and we have to wait to find out at best. So this was the midnight showing of the Batman movie. Now, one of the things that's interesting here, now I don't know that this has any peculiar meaning or not. I don't think it really does, but this guy was dressed kind of weird. I read in Leonard Pitt's column that he said a number of years ago there was a 4 books about Batman that came out as a series.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second one, a guy dressed up in goggles, orange hair, and went into a movie theater and shot people.
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't know whether this guy knows of that and connected it or not. But anyway, so let's move on with this. So Batman, I think it's kind of weird that they're doing this thing about, well, it did the best any 2D movie ever did.
Oh, you know, I got to tell you, Bill, this crazy business where I'm in, the movie business, I thought it showed a little bit of class over the weekend because here's the biggest, you know, the big Batman movie opens, but of course this horrific tragedy occurs. And they, Warner Brothers, who released the film, and actually I think the movie business in general wasn't reporting grosses. I mean, and they usually do. It's almost like the holy grail of the movie business, like what did it gross,
right,
sort of thing. So they held off, and even it came last Monday, they weren't reporting the grosses, which I actually thought showed a little touch of class. It kind of said, you know, we just want to, you know, maybe feel for the victims, and we're not going to throw out all these numbers and that sort of thing. So I thought, hey, that's kind of classy.
And you know what else? The actors stopped, going on interviews and stuff. You know, and they said, okay, we'll go in the background for a while here. And I thought that was also very classy.
Yeah, it was respectful. But now we get to what you just said to about Tuesday, and I'm thinking the Batman movie had to be the biggest something, you know.
Right.
Well, the Avengers opened bigger. I believe the last Harry Potter opened bigger. So they come out with the biggest 2D opening ever. So it was almost they had to come up with the biggest something, and well, the new Batman movie is the biggest 2D opening ever, so that's what they had to throw out there. So I thought, oh boy.
You know, the only other thing that I could imagine worse than that would be 1D, which I don't see how they could do, but they'll come up with a way. Anyway, I thought that was a little bit tacky, but that's fine. So,
yeah, they had to come up with some sort of a record, I think, just to tout it. And I tend to think it'll end up, you know, grossing over $400 million or whatever. But Avengers is still, I think that's over $600 million domestically, and I don't think the new Batman is going to come close. So
now, have you seen the Batman?
No, I have not.
It just opened
last week, and like I said, I've been gone. And when I came back to San Luis Obispo after this vacation, I hit the ground running as far as stuff at the Palm. So no, I've not seen it. It's long, and for me, even though The Dark Knight, everyone says it's one of the greatest films ever, it was a little long for me, too. I mean, you got to be an awfully great movie to have a running time of, you know, 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 40 minutes. So I think I'll eventually see it, but I'm not – people just love these Christopher Nolan Batman films. I thought Batman Begins was quite good. The second one was a little too long, and even though it had some great stuff, Heath Ledger was great. And I'll eventually see this one, though.
You know what's interesting, and don't ask me why exactly, and I don't want to reflect badly on myself, and I don't think it really does, but once you've covered a certain thing, you know, I saw something for the very first time on TV the other day on one of the HBO or whatever, and it was called All the Pretty Horses with Matt Damon and the – what's the name of the guy that was in E.T. when he was a kid?
Oh.
Him. Anyway, him. And then the other kind of character in this movie was the young man who was the young kid in Sling Blade.
Oh, so he's
a good actor, that little guy. Anyhow, so it was an interesting movie about, you know, the course of the cowboys' lives, and, you know, the times are changing and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it was interesting. If you send to me, and I don't know why, I mean, there's movies I will watch a second time, a third time, I'll just sometimes watch them. But, like, I don't know why it tends to be with me with Westerns. Once I've seen it, I've seen it. And so I say that also in light of the fact that, you know what, they're running on premium channels now. They're running Brokeback Mountain again.
Oh, uh-huh.
Or maybe for the first time. Anyway, but I saw Brokeback Mountain. I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was a very unusual way to tell a story. I thought it was very unique and all that. But I'm not compelled to watch Brokeback Mountain again.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, you've made your point to me, and it's like, okay, now I can go on with my life.
Hmm.
So I don't know why sometimes movies are like that with me, but I have movies that I've seen them once, and I'm done. I'm just completely done.
Well, I attended the Maine Film Festival last week, and they had a restored print of Sergio Leone's Once Upon a Time in the West. And I don't know if you've ever seen that. To me, it's like the quintessential spaghetti / Euro Western.
Right, right.
And to me, that one's worth seeing more than once. It's a really incredible movie.
Well, let me be fair. I've watched Clint Eastwood movies, you know, the spaghetti Westerns, quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And The Good and the Bad, The Ugly is one of my favorite movies anyway. Outlaw Josie Wales is one of my favorite movies. But
mm-hmm.
but just the basic Western cowboy, yippee-tie-eye type stuff, you know, I'm like, okay, fine. I understand that now. The cattle are in the pen. Let's go home.
Well, still, the great Westerns, I mean, stuff like High Noon and Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. I mean, you know, there's some in there that are just, some, you know, Western
well, those,
or otherwise,
all those
they're great movies.
Amazing things Ford did, you know, with John Wayne. I mean, you know, there's just a lot of great movies. By the way, I finally got to see, what was the movie that was just redone by Bo... It's coming to me. I'm losing it today. I really mean it. What was the thing that John Wayne did, one of his last movies, and he got the Academy Award? Rooster,
not
The Shootist. That's what he got the Academy Award for. Rooster Cogburn.
Oh, uh-huh.
I saw the new version of that.
Oh, with Jeff Bridges.
I'm thinking the name Bo. It's not Bo Bridges. It's Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
I have to tell you the truth.
I'll tell you the truth, too.
I liked it.
I had a hard time hearing Jeff Bridges mumbling. I mean... And it's the Coen brothers who, it's True Grit, right?
Right, right.
And boy, I was expecting big things, especially because the Coen brothers' previous film, No Country for Old Men, which I liked a lot and, you know, pretty darn violent. But I didn't see how it really improved on the John Wayne version.
Oh, let me tell you,
let
me be fair. You're right about that. It didn't really improve on the John Wayne version, but I thought it was an acceptable version to me that I said, you know, I enjoyed that. That was okay. That's how I felt when I got done seeing it.
Yeah, the actress who played the young girl was fabulous.
Oh, yeah,
it seems like all the elements were there, but for some reason, I think the Josh Brolin character didn't really – he wasn't that much of a villain to me or something. They were just – you know, I wanted it to be – I had high expectations, and they didn't
pan out.
Work out.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, Josh Brolin was a kind of weird. It was kind of a tentative bad guy.
Yeah,
it's
like all the elements were there, but it didn't quite work for me. And I'm a big fan of the Coen brothers, but this one didn't work for me.
All right, other things that are out in the theaters these days. We have Ice Age Continental Drift, which is doing pretty good, which is fun
mm-hmm.
for a cartoon to be doing that. I really like the Ice Age cartoons. I thought they were great.
Uh-huh.
Spider-Man's out there. It's not doing spectacular, but it's holding its own. Ted has done quite well for a talking bear that swears.
Oh, my gosh, that's approaching like $200 million, and I think that's a huge surprise. And I guess it's supposed to be pretty raunchy, but hey, it's extremely successful.
And then you have Disney's Pixar's Brave about the little girl, and that's done quite well. So, you know, I think what we see is what we're generally seeing is what we normally see in the summer. You have some blockbusters that do real well. You have some surprises, like I think Ted's a bit of a surprise to do as well as it has.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then you have the usual fare along with the kids' movies. And so it seems to be very typically summer. But I think it's fun. I think a lot of people are going to the movies.
Yeah, I love it, and I'm just, you know, I've, right here in front of me, I've got the box office, and I'd say Hollywood can say it's having a really good summer. And, you know, again, when we talked about movies getting released, more and more, a lot of these movies are released in Europe, around the world, before the American release. I think Spider-Man already had like $80 million going for it before it showed in any theater here. So that's an interesting thing that's somewhat new in the fact that they're opening up in the world markets before America, in this country, more and more. It's kind of interesting, and I don't know why they're doing it, but, you know.
They're doing it. And, you know, it's just this new way of saying, I think, just to say, okay, what's another way to market? You know, what's another way of going about what we're doing and make it different? And it seems to be working for them. So, I give them credit for saying, okay, let's try this and see what happens. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back. We're going to talk about what's at the Palm Theater, and because there's always wonderful things playing at the Palm, and we'll be back after these words.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Hey, we're back with Jim D from the Palm Theater on the phone today. And, Jimmy, I appreciate you calling in, even though you're feeling bad.
Oh, I'm thinking it's like a 48-hour thing, but I just didn't want to inflict it upon you.
It's probably all those germs that they have in the circulatory system of the airplane, how the thing works, you know.
Yeah.
If one person's sick, everybody dies. All right, so let's talk about the Palm Theater. It ended yesterday, Bernie, and the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, which had a great run, did it not?
Yes, it did.
All right. Now, you have, as a matter of fact, in the Ticket Magazine, the two new movies that are joining Beasts of the Southern Wild, which we'll talk about, are The Untouchables and Police, P-O-L-I-S-S-E, mm-hmm. and they're both well thought of as far as the reviews that they got in the Ticket. And we all know that we don't really care what they review things as. You either go and like it or you go and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so let's talk about the movie that's still continuing, Beasts of the Southern Wild, first.
Well, this is a film, it's terrible, I don't know the filmmaker, a young filmmaker, it was a huge hit at Sundance, and I tend to think when people think of fantasy, they'll think of things like Lord of the Rings or, you know, the superhero stuff. This is a different type of fantasy. It's about this 5-year-old girl named Hush Puppy, and we're talking about off of near New Orleans in this sort of future that doesn't look like the future of what you're normally seeing in movies. And it's really a unique, interesting film. We've had mixed reactions to it, but for the most part, people really enjoy it. But it's a whole different feel for what you would call fantasy or something that's somewhat magical. I can't give you anything more than that, but it's a very unique film, a really happy to show it, and we've had an excellent response to it, and I think it'll play for a few more weeks.
Good, okay. Two new movies. We have The Untouchables.
Yeah, The Untouchables. It's The Untouchables. This is a worldwide hit. It's from France. It's based on a true story. I'm very excited that we finally have it at the Palm. It's been playing in Santa Barbara, I believe, for the last few weeks, and I've been, screaming at the Weinstein Company to get it here in San Luis, and today is the first day that I could get it. I think this film will be playing for quite a while at the Palm. It's extremely hopeful, heartwarming, without apparently being too syrupy or sappy. It's about a man in a wheelchair who needs an assistant, and he goes through a number of people to hire. He ends up hiring a former criminal from the streets. But it turns into a really great story. Again, I've had people who have seen it in Santa Barbara and were, you know, saying, when are we dead it in San Luis? And finally I've got it, and I think it's really going to be a hit. I mean, what's kind of interesting for me this particular summer, as we're talking about a successful summer, so far we've been doing fine this summer, but I think our big summer stuff is going to start this weekend and into August. So, and Intouchables, I think, is going to be a big hit.
And once again, it's rated 4 tickets in the Ticket magazine. Also 4 tickets, Police, which I take it is a French film about French police.
It is. You know, this film, I'm not sure if it's for everyone, but I think the really perfect comparison is to the HBO series The Wire, which is a fabulous show, in my opinion. That's about a Baltimore police outfit, and they're dealing with all different types of stuff. This particular film, Police, spelled that interesting way, is about a group of Parisian police force who deal with child problems. We're talking about pedophiles. We're talking about abuse, things like this. That's a subject that I'm sure isn't going to light a fire under a lot of people, but this film is fabulous, actually, and it won a number of awards over in France. The stars in it are a lot of big French stars who we don't really recognize, but it's really a somewhat gritty but fascinating film of the life of these police who deal with children who are being, involved, not the children involved in crimes, but crimes against children. And it's a fascinating film.
Well, and especially right now with what happened at Penn State, it's obviously very timely.
Yeah, it's very timely, although that's the kind of timely that, you know.
You don't want. You don't
people
want.
People are getting
but,
enough
you know,
of that
yeah,
on the news,
you know,
and
I
maybe
guess
they don't want to see this. But still, those who do choose to see it, I think you're in for an amazing time at the movies. It's tough, but unforgettable, definitely.
Mr. Jim D. from the Palm Theater, the best popcorn in town, always and good prices and great movies and solar-powered and the whole shebang. And the Palm Theater is on Palm, right across the Palm parking garage on Palm. It's Palm. So get to the Palm Theater this weekend and have yourself a great time. And, Jim, you and I will talk next week.
I'll see you in person next week, Bill.
All right, sir. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Take
welcome,
care.
Welcome home.
All right. Bye-bye.
Smell coffee beans roasting?
You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition. Mmm, that tastes great.
A while back, say about 50 years, Snow Whiten at Whiten's Heat and Air Conditioning in San Luis Obispo and her friends, the Seven Little Dudes, invented the GPS. They sure did. The GPS, great personal service. Before long, everybody expected their own GPS, but it wasn't guaranteed unless they called Snow Whiten at 781-2574. To this day, when you need great personal service on your heating, air conditioning, refrigeration, or you realize you have mucked up ducts and need help with a healthy air system, call Snow Whiten at 781-2574 and she'll dispatch a text bird, spiggity spot, or even quicker. We needed help yesterday. Whiten's has been front and center since the early 50s, before the really cool cars, before Fidel's beard, or just about the time of I Like Ike buttons. How, you might ask curiously but politely, did Whiten's gain this stellar reputation? Hundreds of satisfied customers spread it by word of mouth, where most words come from. Keep the outside out and the inside in. Call Snow Whiten at 781-2574, and Whiten's GPS with heating, air, and refrigeration will help you live happily ever after. The end.
The Sea Venture Restaurant invites you to celebrate summer at the beach. Sea Venture is a Pismo favorite, known for its delicious coastal cuisine and outstanding ocean views. Happy hour is every night from 4 to 6 p.m., and summer isn't complete without a sunset ocean view dinner at the Sea Venture. If you're in the mood for something lighter, try the small plates at the cocktail bar for a variety of tasty delights and your favorite libation. There's live music on Wednesday nights from 6 to 9, and music on the deck Sunday afternoons from 2 to 6. Watch the waves and enjoy the tunes. And the Sea Venture Beachfront Hotel reminds all of you that paradise doesn't have to be far from home. This prime beachfront location is just south of the Pismo Pier, and it's perfect for a quick summer getaway, and the Paradise and Pismo package fits into any budget. Package includes an overnight stay, as well as two Mai Tais at the Sea Venture restaurant, souvenir frisbee and beach ball, the use of beach chairs, beach towels, and beach cruiser bicycles. The fireplace king room is $159 per night, and the spa deluxe room is $209 per night, Sundays through Thursdays. You don't need to go far to escape and relax at the beach. The Sea Venture Resort, the best on the beach in Pismo Beach.
Thank you.
How deep is your love, by the way? Chris Stanring is his name. And you're Bill Benecke, Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network, 1340 KYNS, your news station on this Friday. I need to welcome my wife's cousin Martha and her three Mouseketeers to town. They're visiting from Trinidad. It was explained to me what she and her husband do down there. I think they're spies is what it is. It may be something else, but I think that's basically what they do. They spy down there in Trinidad. I don't know what the kids do. Maybe they're junior spies. I have no idea. Let's talk about what's going on in our world today. Let's do this first, though. Let's talk about John Spencer, because we got Spencer's Fresh Market. We got the weekend. We got barbecue time, and they have boneless New York steaks for $3.99 a pound. Can I tell you something? I looked at Spencer's Fresh Market's flyer, boneless New York steaks for $3.99. I looked at somebody else's flyer, $6.99 a pound. Where would you buy a boneless New York steak? That's what I thought. Whole boneless pork loinage is $1.99 a pound. Fresh chicken breasts with ribs attached to them, because, you know, that's how they all start out, as $1.29 a pound. You have seedless watermelons at $2.99 each. Seedless red grapes, 99 cents a pound. Here's some yumly corn, sweet white corn, 2 for a bone. I told you my secret thing I found out on the internet, didn't I? Okay, here's what you do. You take the corn, and let me make sure I get this right. Okay, you have the fat end of the corn. You take a knife, and you cut off the fat, you know, just about an inch of the fat end of the corn. For every ear of corn, you microwave it for 4 minutes, all right? You take it out of the microwave. It's best if you have gloves or something, because it's going to be hot. But then you just take and hold the, where the silk and all that stuff is, and just shake it, and the corn will come out. There'll be no silk on it. It'll be perfect, and it'll be cooked. Time for the butter, the salt, and the pepper, I'd say. I'm just letting you know how to do that. I try to help if I can. Fresh white mushrooms are 2 for $3, and sweet honeydew melons are 2 pounds for $1. So they got all the great produce that they're known for, Spencer's, and they have the IGA Hometown Proud. You can save yourself a lot of money on IGA products, and they're also proud supporters of the Wounded Warrior Project, which is really cool. So when you buy IGA stuff, you contribute. So here's IGA drinking water, 24-pack in 5-liter bottles is $2.99 plus CRV. So please think about our wounded warriors and see if you can help take care of them by that. And here's something fun, because it's summertime. You got to mention this. Popsicles, sugar-free ice pops, or fudgesicles, $1.29 for a package of those guys right there. And they got all the meat. They got fish. They got all kinds of great stuff going on, salmon and whatnot. Got the deli department. They got the butcher department. They have everything. They got, by the way, they have, what do you call it, supplements. They have a very nice selection of supplements if you take, vitamins and supplements. And they have also organic food. You can't beat it. Spencer's Fresh Markets in 4 locations on the Central Coast, Atascadero, Santa Maria, Morro Bay, and San Luis Obispo. Slow down. Go town. All right. I found this thing. Let me see if I want to see. Let me see if I'm going to do this or not. Well, that's going to work. No, we'll forget about that. All right. Let's get to these stories. Okay, I hate to bring this back up again, but something occurred to me, and as I've been thinking through this like everybody else has, this story prompted me to kind of wonder about it more. Homeland Security gives pointers on surviving a shooting spree. So they have suggestions like, if you know you're going to get it anyway, you know, yell at the shooter, throw your cell phone at him. A guy who's been through it said, I can't see this doing any good whatsoever. He was shot with 4 bullets back at the Virginia Tech thing, and he said, you can never prepare for something like that. Anyway, I think he's right. I don't think, what's the chances of that working? I mean, if you manage to hit it right between the guy's eyes, if you're that lucky and under those circumstances. But here's something I wanted to tell you. We talk about the kind of weapons the guy had and all that, but let me share with you how bad it could have been. And I was bad. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't just terrible. But here's how bad it could have been. If this guy really knew how to shoot a gun, if he was a marksman of any kind, and especially if he had like a laser sight on his weapons, there could have been 70 people dead, quite frankly. Because in some instances here, he just sort of shot, hither and yon, as it were. So a lot of people were wounded and 12 were killed. But a person that knew what they were doing and the exact same set of circumstances, even if he had a jam rifle, could have taken out 70 people. So I know that's not a consolation of any kind in the whole wide world, but just something I wanted to share with you, because that's a reality right there. All right. Maybe it's the reality for the next time. Other people, you know what? I want to mention Bill Moram's column, especially today, and what a great thing. Actually, his column the other day was great, and it was, you know, it was too long to read and everything, but it was about a lady named Shirley Getz. This poor woman had a life of, you know, accounts payable. I don't know what she did in her last life, but God was torqued. And so she just went through accidents and terrible times and cancers and, oh, my God. So anyway, so she ends up where she has, you know, $900 a month in Social Security. She had her license suspended in lieu of paying $900 fines and tickets. Originally it was more than that, but then they said, okay, well, we'll cut it back. Anyway, so Bill Moram wrote the story in the news a couple days ago and said, you know, if you're a lawyer, you know, we could use a pro bono lawyer here to help this lady out because she's going to lose everything. She's going to lose her home if she, you know, at her apartment. So anyway, so somebody came forward, and let me tell you who this was, and said, I'll help out. They did more than that, by the way. They said, I'll help out. And this was Jennifer Alton of the San Luis Obispo law firm of Alton and Allen, and not only offered her firm services but paid the fines. By 11:15 a.m. Thursday, the state of Arizona, which is where she had this ticket, had sent receipts back to Jennifer that her payments had been received and Shirley's obligation had been paid in full. Terry, with emotion, she said, thank you, everyone who reached out with your hearts. Good people make life worth living. And Bill finished it with, as to why Alton and so many others step forward will be explored in another column, but you know blessings on you all will have to do. Your empathy continues to be a revelation. It's the people on the Central Coast, I'm telling you. You know, we talk, what are we supposed to be, the smiliest city, the happiest, the cutest, what is it? Anyway, we certainly are among the most generous, I would say, from what I've seen in my lifetime here. And then Phil Dirks cracked me up. He pulled a funny. He said religion makes the front page. So here he was talking about the atheist versus the Pismo Beach thingy, at Pismo Beach City Council meeting where they have a prayer. And he said, well, they don't invoke the Lord's name in the prayer. They say the Almighty, and they say all kinds of words around it. But can we be honest that it's very recognizable as a Christian prayer? And then at one point Phil says, you know, I believe in a tall wall between church and state. All right. I don't know how much you're buying that, pal, because that's, I think, you know. But anyway, here's the point. Here's how he ended it. This is the fun part, was how he ended it. So here's how he said. He said the other religious-related story, he was talking about the God particle, you know, this Higgs boson, and they were on the same page, these two things. And he says our subatomic particles that give other subatomic particles mass or bulk and more or less hold the universe together. But I thought scientists already knew where mass and bulk came from. Don't I keep hearing about reading that it comes from high fructose corn syrup? Phil, hey, I liked it, buddy. Mass and bulk. I know I'm sitting here with a mass and a bulk, so I know what he's talking about. Okay. Now, the front page of the Tribune, there's a couple standing there, and it's Vicky and Tom. And Tom works for Slow Roasted Coffee. He's one of the drivers for Slow Roasted Coffee. So I've known Tom and Vicky for 15 years. And what a great couple of people they are. Anyway, this whole story is about the fact that she very seriously enters sweepstakes. She doesn't mess around. She enters sweepstakes, and they win trips. They win all kinds of stuff. She's hoping for a car. She doesn't want all of it. Anyway, but they won a trip to the Olympic Games. They get to see all these events and whatnot. Anyway, but can I say this? It couldn't happen to two nicer people, and I want you to know that. I really want you to know that. They're characters. The both of them are just characters, but they're an extremely nice couple. And I'm just really happy for them. I think that's cool. They won a trip to Vegas at the Mob Museum, and then they renewed their vows when they were there. So that's what the picture is. Tom in his zoot suit renewing his vows. I've never seen Tom in a zoot suit, so it took me by surprise when I first saw it. I recognized Vicky right away, but I wasn't sure about him. He looks good. I think he looks fine. All right. Health insurance rebates are on the way, and I can attest to that because Nancy's health insurance, she got, I don't know, it was $50 or something back. And thereabouts. And so this has to do with the Affordable Care Act. And so it's a weird thing. They have to do an 80-20. They have to be able to prove that they've used 80% of their money at the insurance companies in service, and 20% goes to administration. And if they miss that mark, they have to refund a certain amount of money back. So that's one of these things that's a somewhat complicated affair. All right. Well, Grover Insurance Agency's rating lawyer, this was all because they got their toe in a ringer there over the the redistricting. And when we had to give up those funds, and they had used part of it to pay something, and now they're saying, okay, well, that's not good. And it's like, you know, these days, who knows? I'd love to, you know, the hard part of sharing a story with you that I can't share is that I don't know how to pronounce the name, but we'll get to the story called Chick. I think it's called Chick-fil-A. I've seen it many times, but anyway, they're in the news. And now let me tell you something else that's going on. On the weekend, we got Treasure Ivan is going to have a great show this weekend, and let me tell you what it's about. And so this show's for adults, and it's a lot of children's music and all that kind of stuff. But here's what it's about, the children's music of the Red Scare of the 50s. So that's, and I think that's just fascinating all by itself, the children's Red Scare of the 50s. So the music that came out of and evolved from what we were, you know, the whole thing that was going on during the Cold War in the 50s. And they had a thing here today. Was it in today's paper? Yes, I don't know. They had a thing about, you know, kids doing something. I remember when we were in the 50s, we had to duck, cover, and hold or whatever it was. We had to get under our discs all the time. As if that was going to help one iota. But, you know, we did it. So, that's that. Who else is in the news? Harry Winkler is going to be in a Broadway show. He's going to be a porn star. He's starring David West Reeves. He's going to play. He's going to be alongside Cheyenne Jackson, also plays an adult film actor. Winkler will portray Chuck Wood, a legendary in the porn industry. I don't know what Chuck Wood. GMA host Robin Roberts is going to take a leave to get her bone marrow transplant, which, by the way, these days I understand is just a lot easier than it used to be. So please sign up and be a bone marrow donor. Katie Kirk's going to get getting ready for a daytime talk show. Do you think there's enough daytime talk shows? See, this is what's really weird. You know, when you look at the people that you look back to Oprah leading the pack for so many years, then Ellen DeGeneres came along, and I think she's become the successor to Oprah as far as popularity. But then you have other talk shows on. You got Anderson Cooper has his talk show on in the afternoon. You got all these people, Nate Berkus, all these different people have talk shows. And so Katie Couric enters a already pretty full pond, you know. And this is coming off of not great success with being the news anchor, you know, for CBS. So, it was a mistake. And then it cost two people some of an awkward time. Katie Couric went to CBS to anchor the news. Ann Curry then, you know, became the Ann Curry. So then Ann Curry, who was doing the news at Today Show, I thought should have been the one they had picked to go do the news. I thought she would have been fine doing that, but unfortunately, they replaced I can't think of her name. She replaced the last lady, and then she got booted. Meredith Vieira. God, Bill. Come on, Bill. Meredith Vieira. So anyhow, it's kind of like a house of cards, you know. And if you set them up wrong, they're going to fall down. Well, here's a big thing. I mentioned Mitt Romney's Olympic blunder. They're calling it, you know. And again, it wasn't the biggest foot in the mouth. I've had my foot in my mouth way further. I've had my foot in my mouth way further than Mitt Romney did with this. But when you do it on an international stage and everybody's watching, guess you are in. Now you have a problem. And that's what he has. Now he's got to try to do better. Where's he going? To Poland and Israel. All right. This cracked me up today. A bit of whimsy will open the game. So they're going to have all kinds of stuff about James Bond, the Beatles. They're going to have, you know, all this stuff that everybody remembers about England and all the things from the past and everything. And in London, look for a flock of it. So you remember the big drummer thing in the beginning of the Beijing Olympics? In the games here, look for a flock of sheep, three cows, two goats, and 10 wandering ducks. So this is, and it starts at 7:30 tonight, as you may know, on NBC. But here's the thing that cracks me up about this is the master of understatement, the master of say. How do you say something that makes it sound like, you know, the reason that you're doing it is this? As a global audience prepares for nearly 3 weeks of competition set against the backdrop of one of the world's most recognizable cities, it speaks of the wholly different mission of the London Games to bring the ponderous, politicized, and outsized Olympics back down to earth. I think there's a bit of responsibility on us to bring these games down to the size and return them to games for athletes, said Hugh Robertson, Britain's Minister for Sports and the Olympics. In other words, we're broke. We can't possibly do what they did in China. That just cracks me up. We don't have any money, so we're going to do it this way. But we're doing it for the good of the Olympics. You betcha. You betcha. Now, this was fascinating right here. Now, one of the things they're making a point of saying is that they're not as efficient as the regular solar cell, because UCLA have invented and developed a transparent solar cell. So you can actually put these solar cells on your window, and they have a little, what they call a nano cord. The wiring is so tiny you can't see it. And so it generates 30% less electricity than the same size panel would if it wasn't on your window, but you can still see out your window, and can install these things. Now, of course, the question is, if they manufacture these things commercially, how much is it going to cost? I know more than I have. Maybe I can go to somebody else's house that has them, though. I admire them. I don't mind doing that. I really mean that. I don't mind that at all. Now we just have so much bad news. I don't know what to tell you about this. Drought is rapidly intensifying, a report shows. The wildest drought to grip the United States in decades is getting worse and no signs of abating, a new report warned Thursday, as state officials urge conservation and more ranchers consider selling their cattle. So this is really weird. It's just they're saying it is increasing. Somebody's trying desperately to get through to me, and the phone is back on hold. And you'll go to an answering machine because I released that for Jim D. But until we get our new equipment, it ain't going to happen. All right. So, enough. That's not bad enough. Strong storms threaten the ozone layer of the United States, the U.S. study says. And so they say the ozone shields and protects us and all. But these storms, because they go up so high, they affect the ozone layer. So there's just, all these weather occurrences that are caused by bad news to begin with are creating more bad news. And if, you get a fire season, you get a fires like Colorado, if you get enough smoke in the air, that's going to affect also what happens in our atmosphere. There's nothing good going on out there. All right. Here's a strange tale. A 40-foot tree in Pescadero fell on two boys camping in a tent as an oak tree fell over and crushed the pelvis of one of them. The other one received minor injuries. So it makes you wonder which way they were laying. But anyway, so they got him to a hospital, and they're working on him. This guy didn't do so good camping. An experienced Northern California hiker's body was found after a three-day search in Sierra Nevada. 31-year-old Thomas Heng's body was found Wednesday below Old Army Pass in the John Muir Wilderness. Now, I know you're going to, there'll be editorials and there'll be people raising heck and all that stuff, but I think that Mike and I pretty much covered this on Monday, and it says here, President Barack Obama will not push for stricter gun laws this election year, the White House said. Instead, Obama's stand on the government's role ended up right where it was after the mass shooting in Colorado, enforced existing laws better. But I think we came to a correct conclusion. We said doesn't matter if you enforce existing laws now. We've gone past the point of where we can control the number of guns that are available in this country. There's no possible way to do it. I can't tell you. Penn State, it was the most appalling thing I've heard in many a year, along with Aurora, Columbia. But this really offends me. I can't tell you how much this offends me to have this happen. A number of instructors at Texas Air Force Base under investigation is a widening sex scandal has increased from 12 to 15. The number of alleged victims has also gone up by 7 to 38. The disclosure comes a week after a military jury sentenced a former instructor at the base to 20 years in prison after he was convicted of rape and sexual assault. Now, I'm glad about the 20 years, and he's going to go to Leavenworth, and it's going to be the 20. I mean, this is not 20 easy years with the TV and all that kind of stuff. This is 20 years of hard labor. That's how they do things in Leavenworth. But I don't know what's happened. It's like maybe I'm ignorant. Maybe because, again, I wasn't around female sailors. Maybe back in the 60s they had the same kinds of problems. I don't know. But they're saying today that 40% of women in the service are sexually assaulted. Now, I was with guys in the service, and I never heard anyone say, you know, if I had a chance, I'd sexually assault a wave. You know, you didn't think of sexually assaulting people. I'm going to speak for everybody. We didn't think about sexually assaulting people. So it's kind of like, it's just sort of strange to me that this kind of stuff goes on. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Anyway. Let me mention one last thing, too, that's important to tell you about. And that is that Charter is smarter. And Charter has all the stuff you need to make your life happy. 30 megs on their high-speed internet. And that's just super-duper fast. And you can get that. Anybody can get that anytime. So you can have that. They have, don't forget, they have Charter Telephone. You can make long-distance and local calls all across the United States for one flat rate. And it can be bundled. So you can get this stuff for $29.95 a holler. They have Charter TV. Same thing. Greatest deal in the whole wide world. You can you get your everything for $29.95 when you bundle it. And you can watch, you know, there's a bazillion on-demand movies. There's on-demand movies in 3D. There's all kinds of great stuff. So I've always said to you, I think Charter's smarter. And if I were you, I'm encouraging you, if I were you, I would certainly get hold of Charter and make my life a lot more fun. Because Charter, after all, Charter is smarter.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.
What happened to my song? I don't know. But it certainly went bad on ya.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know. I don't know what does that. I don't. It's some atomic particles. It's the Higgs boson. It's the boson hosen. All right. The Higgs boson. We're going to have a nice weekend because the weather's going to be really super. Lots of things going on at the Mid-State Fair, biggest little fair anywhere, and everything's going to be fun this weekend. So have yourself a great, great weekend, and we'll get together again on Monday at noon. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye. Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails.